The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. My name's Kent Swanson. This is the Arrowhead Pride Laboratory. It's the Wednesday edition. And we're going to continue to look at the 53-man roster and our predictions this week. And here to help me do that are my dear pals. First, find him on Twitter, at Chief in Carolina, Maddie Lane. Hello, my friend. How are we this fine evening?
I'm doing well. Camp's gearing up. We're getting close to getting some real football news, but we need to skip right past me. We need to have, should have done a late birthday present to our very own Renaissance man and asked him how his day, his birthday, his day of celebration went for him the other day and how he's doing this fine evening.
Let's talk about football, guys.
Okay, real quick, Craig, we got done with the show. Because we'd been planning to like embarrass him immensely on his birthday podcast, and the podcast got done, we stopped recording, and Craig just put his arms up, and I screamed. I was like, "No, we blew it. We both forgot. Me and Maddie forgot."
I did not forget. I had two possible openings. I either wanted to talk about Craig's birthday or slander baseball, and I went with the far more important topic of slandering baseball. Because
a double birthday present for me.
I decided that I wanted to post a video to Craig the next day. I thought maybe that would get more people to DM him and at him, especially with the verified thing still going around. It was a calculated tactic, Kent.
You know what? The video was nice. The chest hair was popping, I must say. And you didn't wear sleeves. Like, it's just, I mean, that's a triple birthday present for Craig Stout right there.
It's true. It's true. It's very true. But we should talk about football now.
Uh-huh. A happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks.
You know, 30, I'm not telling. Okay, let's go ahead. And we did the skill players last week. And now we're going to do the quarterback, and we're going to do the offensive line and the defensive line. I think that's what we're going to do this week, kind of just continuing to project our 53-man roster. So, quarterbacks to make the team. I am going with three. And the reason I'm going with three is a unique situation that we are all in with COVID. I think the Chiefs need to be mindful, and I think they're going to keep Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne, and Matt Moore. Jordan Ta'amu, they're going to try to keep him on the practice squad, and I think they're going to have some success doing that. I think they'll keep him around. But I think the Chiefs, I think it's smart for the Chiefs to have more veteran quarterbacks in the building in case something happens. In case something happens to one of Chad Henne and Patrick Mahomes, having Matt Moore on the available, locked in, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the Chiefs break the norm and they keep three.
I think you nailed it on the head right there. They want to have as many possible veteran quarterbacks available to play. For that reason, I think they keep one off the 53-man roster, let's say Matt Moore, so that way if there is an injury, you bring Matt Moore onto the roster. He's had, hopefully, a lower risk to be potentially catch something going around. You hope he's quarantining himself. No other team is going to be looking at Matt Moore if he is not making the Chiefs roster. I think the Chiefs keep two, and that's Mahomes, Chad Henne. If, for some reason, someone gets injured or if there's a COVID-related time missed, you now can call on Matt Moore, who knows the offense. He, if, as long as you let him know that, you know, he's going to be the first call if something happens, he would probably understand. You hope that he's been following good, you know, quarantine-like rules, and that way you just bring a guy in. Andy Reid in his presser today talked about how the rules for the NFL aren't really set up to quarantine specific players on your 53-man roster. He specifically said they didn't set up a way for that to happen. But if a guy's not on the roster, you know, he's not coming into contact with 52 other guys plus all the people on the staff every day. I just think that's a chance, especially when you have a veteran like Matt Moore and Chad Henne. One of them can not be on the 53-man roster, but be your first call. And if they have to get playing time, they can do it.
Yeah, and you've got a good shot at winning another ring. Like, if Matt Moore sits out, you've got a shot at sitting around. If one of the quarterbacks comes down with something, God forbid, then Matt Moore could step right in and get a ring at the end of the year. But I do think that they're going to go with the vets. I think they're going to keep three. I think it's going to be Mahomes, Matt Moore, and Chad Henne. I just think that a running theme throughout this entire offseason for Andy has been veteran smart players. And I think he's going to stick with those guys because he knows that he's going to be able to count on them to show up and do what's right, both on and off the field, and be smart. And so I think that's going to be a real key component on this entire offseason here. So it's those veteran quarterbacks for me.
I want to read this tweet real quick from Tom Pelissero, because I do have a question for you guys, and I'm thinking out loud here. This is news today. Several roster changes we've discussed are now official for 2020. 16-man practice squad, up to six with no limit on accrued seasons. Does that mean that Matt Moore is eligible for the practice squad?
I mean, surely not, right?
Up like, to six I, with no limit on accrued
no
seasons.
Limit.
So, man. This is something we need to get clarification on, but the Chiefs can protect up to four practice squad members every Tuesday. That's the other part of this rule. So if that's the case, if the accrued season limit means anyone with, regardless of how many years in the league that they've been in there, can be on the practice squad, that's a way for the Chiefs to protect and save a roster spot. We're going to have to kind of dig into that a little bit, but thinking out loud, that might be the move if that's the rule. Just saying. All right, guys, I want to hear your starting offensive line. Craig, kick us off.
I think they're going to keep nine, and I think, for me, it was actually pretty easy to come up with this. Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz are going to be your tackles. I think Kelechi Osemele and Mike Rimmers are going to be your starting guards, and Austin Ryder is going to be your starting center. Then after that, it gets a little dicey here. Lucas Niang is definitely sticking around. That's six. Martinez Rankin, I think, is going to come off the pup, and that's going to be seven. And then I'm looking at Jackson Barton to make the team. They love him, a potential swing tackle. And I think that final spot is between Nick Allegretti and Darrell Williams. That's right. I would be moving on from Andrew Wiley. And that hurts me to say that, but I think that they've got good guard depth. And I think if they trusted Andrew Wiley, Mike Rimmers and Kelechi Osemele would not be here right now. So I think that there's going to be a young depth competition at that center position. That's an Allegretti, Darrell Williams. But I think that Andrew Wiley might make it. They only kept nine when they cut down to 53 last year. So I think that they keep nine again.
I feel like the Chiefs in years past, last year, I know at parts they had nine, but I feel like they had more at other times in the year. And I think in years past, they've also carried up to 10, because it's something that always angers me, seeing 10 offensive linemen on a depth chart. I think it's just a waste of space for positions that get cycled in a lot more. You don't get use for your 10th offensive lineman very often. So I have the exact same starting offensive line as Craig does. I think we talked about that during the mailbag edition as well. My backups, though, I have 10 offensive linemen. I kind of looked at it like this. I also think Jackson Barton is going to make it. I think he's one of the backup tackles. Same thing with Lucas Niang. So there's two backup offensive tackles right there. I think Barton's probably the last guy on the list, though, because I don't know how much flexibility he has in his positional play right now. But then up the middle, it's just such a new team because we, Craig and I both have Rimmers and Osimile starting at guard. That's two new guards. I think they're going to keep extra bodies around just that up the middle just in case things aren't working. So I have Martinez Rankin making it. I have Daryl Williams beating out Nick Allegretti for the backup center spot. And then it became between Allegretti and Andrew Wiley. And both guys show a little bit of positional flexibility. But if Nick Allegretti loses that backup center battle, I think it's whoever's better at guard. And Wiley has proven that he can be at some level of a starting guard in the NFL while Allegretti hasn't. So I'm keeping Andrew Wiley and hoping the Chiefs can slide Allegretti onto this now much larger practice squad.
All right. Well, things are going to get a little bit more interesting here because I have 10 making it, boys. I've got 10 guys here going on this roster. And I know that's a little bit – this is all response to the COVID situation. Like, that's really what this is for me. I am looking at it from the perspective of, this is an unprecedented season. Offensive line play is coveted. Offensive line play is critical to to how teams are going to be able to survive this. I think ultimately, I really believe, like, because there's so many unknown variables with this thing, I feel like the Chiefs are going to try to be protective of offensive line, and I think that extends to the practice squad too. So I've got 10. My starters: Eric Fisher, Kelechi Osemele, Austin Ryder, Mike Remmers, and Mitchell Schwartz. I've been back and forth between Martinez Rankin and Mike Remmers a lot. I've been kind of wishy-washy the last couple weeks. I think I'm right now, if you ask me, I think I'd go with Remmers. My five other offensive linemen: Jackson Barton, Martinez Rankin, Nick Allegretti, Andrew Wiley, Lucas Niang. I think Andrew Wiley sticks on the roster. I think, I think this group here gives the Chiefs the ability to protect Lucas Niang for the entirety of the season, which I think is fantastic. And that's the group I'm rolling with. But here's the other thing. I actually have projected out my practice squad too.
Of course you have.
Daryl Williams, Yasir Durant, and Greg Sinat all making this football team. And I could see the Chiefs being active about protecting one of those guys. Doing some research here while these guys were talking to, it does seem like Matt Moore is eligible for the practice squad. Which, good on Brett Veach. Time out, real quick. I think Brett Veach has really, like, the roster construction looks COVID ready. Has it not felt like he's just kind of been preparing for that? Really aggressive with the undrafted free agents. Really compiling a lot of those guys. Guess what? 16-man practice squad now. And you can protect four guys on your practice squad. Boy, it's how convenient of time that is that. A couple weeks or a month ago, they signed Matt Moore. Oh, by the way, now the Chiefs can put Matt Moore on the practice squad and protect him and have their third veteran quarterback in the building on the roster. Like, I'm sorry, but I feel like he deserves a lot of credit for this roster construction for this year.
I mean, he does. He definitely does. He has done an excellent job of preparing it. I mean, that was kind of what running back was about. And, I mean, a lot of the additions that they've made are guys that are going to come in with, good high football IQs already. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Andy ranted about his football brain earlier today when talking about him and being ready for the season, and Clyde saying that the playbook was easy. But Kelechi Osemele and Mike Remmers are very smart players as well. Like, this is not, you're not bringing in a group of people and trying to teach the offense to a bunch of raw, young athletes here. They've preferred to go after maybe some staples, some safer picks. They got away with it last year with Stefan Wisniewski as well. Another smart player that could come in and learn the offense quickly. I think that they are really leaning on that both in their starters and in their depth this year. We'll see how that works in future years here, but I am very impressed that they were able to get the kind of guys in the building that can probably contribute quickly.
For me, I think it's just a more of a overall roster building philosophy than specifically for the COVID season. Because like Craig said, you look at last year, they still brought in a lot of the same things. They know that their win now window is here. Like they can win right now. Clearly they did last year. They're trying to run it back. So now what you're doing is you're bringing in guys that you think can pick up the system quickly. They can get on the field to play with a roster that is very, or at least a starting depth chart that is very similar to last year. You're just trying to get guys in there that are going to make last year's team a little bit better. They've done that with a lot of their moves. And then just with the draft philosophy, you don't need 33 day three picks. Just sign and pay undrafted free agents. Your hit rate's only marginally worse. And when you're a Super Bowl champion, you're going to have other players coming to you trying to want to be on your team more so than other teams. I think they did a perfect thing with that. Pay a little bit of money to undrafted free agents, bring them on, bring on as many guys as you can. Use that like extra draft picks, just happens to be guys that didn't get snagged up. And this year's practice squad rules, I think that's just kind of a happy accident that fits with what they're doing. But I think it's just Brett Veach's general roster construction, which in its own right should get a round of applause. He's doing very good with it. I just don't know if it's as much about this particular season as well as just his ideology of the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't want to say like it's entirely like he's just been prepping for COVID, because I do agree with a lot of what Maddie said. Like we've raved about, and like we've talked about good process, and good process is trying to build an attractive undrafted free agency, recruiting pitch more or less, trying to be able to get those guys here in the building. I think is good business. It's good, good business. I think they've done a really, really good job building depth on this football team. Some of the names that I don't have making this team. Jasir Durant, Darrell Williams, Kalijah Lipscomb, Darwin Thompson, Jordan Tommy. Those are good guys to have in the building to develop. So I'm really excited. There's Tim Ward too, but we're going to get there in a second. We're just going to take a break and we will be back to talk about the defensive line right after this.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
All right, we're laying down our 53-man roster and we're going position by position. It's time to do the defensive tackles. Craig, who we got making the defensive tackle or making the team at defensive tackle?
I've got four, and they're the obvious four. Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Colin Saunders, and Mike Pinnell. That's right. I didn't put Breland Speaks in this group. We'll get to him in a second group here. He's got the flexibility there, but I think it is those four that they're going to truly classify as defensive tackles on this team, and that's about it. And they don't really have much depth behind those guys. Now, Steve Spagnuolo likes these bigger guys. He's not heavy into rotating his defensive tackles. He's not, really relied on defensive tackles to be primary pass rushers or anything like that. But if one of these guys goes down, right now they only have Tershawn Wharton on the team. That's kind of thin as far as depth goes. If one of these guys can't go for whatever reason, that's going to be a significant impact on the rotation, because Colin Saunders in year two, we have high hopes for him, but he needs to take that next step to be that contributor. So if Jones, Nnadi, or Pinnell had to miss any time for any reason throughout the season, now all of a sudden you're thrusting some guys into roster spots that maybe they're not quite prepared to do, and that's going to limit what Steve Spagnuolo can do. So I do think that they will just keep four, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were a little bit active after cutdowns to try and maybe add another guy into this mix.
For me, the trick here is Steve Spagnuolo doesn't usually rotate a lot of defensive tackles on a week-by-week basis. When he was with the Giants, he kind of picked three and stuck with a specific three, with a fourth guy getting just very little run, maybe a couple snaps here and there, because as we've talked about a ton on this podcast, defensive ends are going to play a lot of snaps on the inside. Your defensive ends are going to make up a fair amount of your pass rushing downs at defensive tackle, because that's just the way he likes to do things. So I'm with Craig, and that the number of four defensive tackles does sound right. I, however, am going to count Breland Speaks as a defensive tackle, which brings it up to five. But I mean, it is a tweener position. He's going to play defensive end and defensive tackle most likely. I don't think the label of where he goes really matters. This is just a defensive line talk. I think that Speaks will see more reps at defensive tackle. And like Craig said, if you lose one of these first four guys, you might need someone to step in and play a little bit more defensive tackle as a mainstay. And I think Breland Speaks, out of all the other guys that are available, is the most primed to do that, just given the general body type and what we haven't seen from him out on the edge.
Yeah, we'll get to Breland Speaks in a second for me, and it's not here at the defensive line group. I have the same four. This is the, as far as any guys that, like, this seems like the most settled position, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at this roster in its entirety, I don't see Braxton Hoyt or Devereaux Lawrence pushing anybody. So you kind of have an idea of, you know, who those guys along the interior really are going to be. And I do agree with Craig. Wouldn't be stunned to see them looking to try to add a veteran potentially along the interior as well, as cutdowns happen. You know, what's Snacks up to? What's Snacks Harrison up to? Is he opted out? I know, you know, he's a free agent, but has he decided not to play? Or, you know, that's something to keep an eye on. I don't know. I wouldn't hate that idea. Let's go ahead and look at the defensive ends now. We've got, let's go with Maddie. Maddie, who you got making the team at defensive end?
All right, so I think your starters, and this little bit of, if you guys went on to Arrowhead Pride yesterday, you saw my defensive end preview. This is something I talked about. I think Tano Pasanio wins the starting spot across from Frank Clark this year. I think in camp and early in the season, I do think that he's just going to outshine Alex Okafor a little bit. I think they were playing at a similar level last year. I know Okafor came on right before he got injured, but Pasanio's growth was huge last year. I think he and Frank Clark are your starting defensive ends. Alex Okafor, obviously one of your first guys off the bench there, plenty of reps. Taco Charlton, I think, is going to make this roster. Being back with Frank Clark, I think he gets the best of his abilities coming out. And then I have Mike Dana making this the, what is this, fifth defensive end for making the team. However, I'm not sold Mike Dana doesn't get some reps at Sam linebacker. He just his body type, I can't quite point my finger to it yet. I think we'll see as camp gets going where they think he'll play. I wouldn't be surprised to see him at end or at linebacker, but for now I'm keeping him in the defensive end group. So that brings me to a total of 10 defensive linemen, with 5 at D tackle, 5 at defensive end. But these guys are going to move all over the place. Just the big takeaway is Pasanio is that other starting defensive end spot.
Yeah, and my guys are essentially the same. I'm 6 defensive ends with Breland Speaks in there, but in lieu of me explaining what Matt just did expertly there, Breland Speaks and Mike Dana showed up to camp over the past 2 weeks. Breland Speaks and Mike Dana look smaller than they did last year, respectively. Breland Speaks looks pretty thin. You know, all things considered, he looks good. And Mike Dana also looks like he's not wearing the weight that Michigan asked him to put on to play defensive line for them. So both of those guys are going to be very interesting case studies. I know we keep talking about it. I know we keep bringing it up. But now that we've actually seen how they've shown up to camp, the shape that they are in, I think it's very interesting that both of these guys are coming in at these lower weights. Breland Speaks and Mike Dana especially aren't doing that. Like, Breland Speaks is trying to make this roster. Mike Dana is going to do everything the coaching staff asks of him. So both of those guys are probably doing that under direction from the Chiefs. So I'm going to pay extra special attention where Speaks and Dana end up actually playing. Like Manny said, I'm not going to be surprised if Dana plays a little linebacker. I do think that Speaks is probably going to play more defensive end, but maybe that sub-rush defensive tackle position.
I think this is the defensive end position is the most interesting position, I think, on this entire football team, frankly. As far as just what the team's going to do with those guys, I'm projecting five. Alex Okafor, Frank Clark, Tano Pastineo, Taco Charlton, and Breland Speaks over Mike Dana. And I think the new information that we've got as time has gone on here is the Chiefs are going to be able to protect Mike Dana from being on another roster with their practice squad. So they're going to, I mean, they're essentially stretching they're stretching the active roster more or less to 57, basically. It's just four of them. They're getting guaranteed club control of 57 guys. If he doesn't have to pass waivers at all, I think the Chiefs might just try to stash Mike Dana this year. Breland Speaks, I think they're going to give him a shot. I think he does have inside ability, potentially, which could appeal to them with only four defensive linemen on the roster and expecting Breland Speaks to play inside. Having that versatility is a little bit different than Mike Dana. But I think I'm going Breland Speaks, and I don't feel good about it. But here's the thing. This is why I say this group is very interesting. I want Mike Dana, Damone Harris, and Tim Ward on my practice squad. I want all of those guys still in the mix and still on this roster, especially since Tano Pastineo and Taco Charlton are free agents this year. So you got to continue to keep that pipeline built. This is such a weird year. And the situation we were in 2 days ago is different than now because we now have new rules with the practice squad. I mean, even that is throwing wrenches into things. John Lovett gets released a day after the pod releases last week, and now we've got new rules about the practice squad that are really kind of making me rethink a lot of things too here.
You really think that Brendan Daly is going to let Mike Dana off of this squad?
If Mike Dana can be put on the practice squad completely protected, I think so, yes. I don't know if he's got to clear waivers at the beginning of the year.
He does. You would still have to clear waivers, and you get a set of new four every week. So, I mean, they could protect. Now, I'm not sure if, let's say, after the game, I don't know if there's an open period before you can set your protected players where somebody could come in and sign somebody. I wouldn't imagine so. But you do have to clear waivers to start, and then you get to reassess or reset your four protected players every Tuesday, it sounds like. I think it's a big risk for a guy that you drafted that early in the draft.
Yeah, you're not wrong. If there's any point where he's got to clear waivers, I'd probably have to go with Dan over Speaks. That's really what the reality is.
And that's where I wanted to go next is what do we think are the odds of what would you set the odds of Breland Speaks not making the 53-man roster?
They have to carry 10 defensive linemen if they're going to do it. If Breland Speaks is making this football team, it's got to be 10th, I think. Like working through this as we're doing it right now, I think if he's going to make this team, they got to carry 10 off defensive linemen.
Okay, what are the odds that he doesn't make it?
That's tough. And I'm glad that we're doing both lines at once because I think that these two are tied together.
Yes.
Like I've got offensive line with 9 and defensive line with 10. I think if you add a 10th offensive lineman, there's not a ton of places that you can cut another dude from.
Right.
Maybe tight end, but I do
quarterback.
I have, yeah. I mean that, but you're right, Maddie. Or here, and honestly, even since the first episode where we did this, things have changed. Damien Williams,
mm-hmm.
No longer. So okay, so Darwin Thompson. Are you keeping Darwin Thompson or are you cutting Darwin Thompson? So you could roll with 3 running backs, or you could roll with 4.
I mean, we should address that real quick. I think all of us are probably adding Darwin or, in Craig's case, DeAndre back in.
Correct.
And I would say the only reason for it is they are very persistent about keeping extra running back because they keep getting injured. I think there's zero chance they lose their top two running backs from last year and don't just stack it with bodies and try to go with a thinner room. Like, I would be real surprised if you saw a thinner running back room after losing LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams from last year to this year. But another thing I just wanted to bring up in the defensive line, we like Tim Ward. We think the Chiefs like Tim Ward. Mm-hmm. If he outplays Breeland Speaks, is there a chance that Tim Ward is the 10th defensive lineman and Breeland Speaks wouldn't be?
Sure. Tim Ward has the length and the play style that Steve Spagnuolo wants at defensive end. And I have said it time and time again that Breeland Speaks' best avenue towards making this team by the way he plays is defensive tackle. But that man showed up looking like a defensive end.
Time out, though.
He weighed like a defensive
but
end.
But here's another question. If we're going to have this conversation about hashtag run it back, why isn't Damone Harris the 10th? Because he played last year for this team.
He did.
Significant snaps for this football team. Like, I look at that one. That one,
hate him.
That one's just as tough for me. This is why I say they have 10 legitimate defensive ends or 8 legitimate defensive ends on this football team and 6 spots top. Well, 7. I'm not counting Tim Ward yet. I think there's a chance, though. But we have guys with playing time. Like, Damone Harris got a lot of run last year for this football team. And we're not even talking about him.
What's Damone Harris's ceiling, though? I think that's the question that comes from that.
Well, here's what I'll say. If we're going to have the Damone Harris versus Tim Ward versus Breeland Speaks conversation, Breeland Speaks has the highest ceiling still, probably, because he's at least a, like, we have not seen Tim Ward play a snap since he's been at Old Dominion.
Correct.
We have not seen one snap of Tim Ward since Old Dominion.
Correct.
Damone Harris is
ceiling, though.
I know.
I will take Tim Ward's ceiling. I'll say this. Breeland Speaks has to be the odds-on favorite to win this because he has the potential to play inside a defensive tackle. Tim Ward, Damone Harris don't. Breeland Speaks can play defensive tackle. I think it's a really interesting choice by him. If it's his choice, is to come in lighter and try to play defensive end because he's competing to be defensive end 5 or 6. Like, he should be, I feel like he should be buckling down on defensive tackle or at least keeping the versatility to play both because that's the only thing that separates him from Damone Harris or Tim Ward to me. I don't think that he's more polished. He's definitely not a better athlete. He's not proven more in the NFL. Damone Harris's limited reps were better than Breeland Speaks' limited reps on the edge. It's like he doesn't do anything better, at least we haven't seen it, better than those guys. So embrace what separates you. Embrace that you are a thick guy that can kick inside. You've done it before. He needs to bring that to the table, or he is at risk of not making the 53-man roster.
Here's my question to you guys. And I'm kind of starting to flip. I'm kind of flipping on Mike Dana versus Breeland Speaks if it comes down to it now. Because if Dana does, if he's not going to clear, if he has to clear waivers still, yeah, that's going to be a little bit tougher.
And you act like Brendan Daly doesn't have 17 pressure packages for Mike Dana already planned out. Come on, Kent.
But, okay, yeah, maybe. My question was this, and I'm just going to say it out loud, and I don't know if I totally agree with it, but are the Chiefs going to get rid of their former top 50 pick, Brett Veach's first pick ever for a fifth-round pick?
Does that look bad for Brett Veach? With the offseason that he has had this offseason, I don't think that – I mean, yeah, you can look back on it in retrospect and say – should have been Fred Warner. Should have been, you know, countless other players.
It should have been Fred Warner,
but,
Craig.
I mean, you can look back on that and say that and try and throw shade at Veach, but he's coming off of an offseason here where he locked up the future for 12 years. He won the city a Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years, and he kept a lot of these guys back. They're probably going to do it again. So, can you really get mad at him for cutting a second round? Like, I think if there is a situation where you could move on from a guy and not take too much heat for it, this is it.
I'm flipping.
How safe is Taco Charlton?
I think he's in.
I think he's in.
And
just 100%? Like, you would be completely shocked if he doesn't make it.
I think he's 95% of the way in. I think he'd have to show up out of shape and he just not pick up the playbook at all.
And we know he is in shape. I mean, correct. Like, we don't know if he's in football shape, but we know he's not completely out of shape because we have seen the workout videos. He's at least working out and looks good. He looks the part right now.
Mm-hmm. This is just looking into every little thing I possibly can about this football team. Taco Charlton was running with the ones during drills. So I'm just, here's the thing. Pause anytime the Chiefs put out a video, because you're not, this is a PSA to everybody. This is a PSA to everybody. Here's what you do. You pause every single frame of any video that they actually give you, because they're not going to give you many. You got to pause and look at the frames and look at who's lined up where, and you got to go find the photos of every practice. Whenever practice starts, you got to overanalyze every single photo that's on there. You got to look for Arian Springs and see if he's lining up in the slot for the ones.
Or DeMontre Wade.
You got to do all that stuff.
Those things matter, as evidenced by the fact that they did not make
the team. It's vital. It's like the best way to overanalyze the offseason, I'm telling you. But I did see Taco Charlton running with the ones.
I mean, that's good. I think
I think
that's good for him.
His talent and skill should make the team. Like, I feel like he should be safe based on what I've seen on film of him going back to college over some of the other guys. It's just, he's a brand new guy, wasn't paid a lot of money to come on the roster. You know, if he showed up and, like Craig said, couldn't pick up the playbook or just didn't look good, like, I think that's the only avenue that he would be gone. And I don't think any of us see that. And a peek behind the curtain, this is why I wanted to do, and we're not doing it, but I wanted to do the front seven together, because I almost wanted to move Mike Dana to Sam, even if he never plays off ball, but just to save me that extra defensive lineman position, because I'm with you. It's hard to cut one of these guys, whether it's Tim Ward, Breland Speaks, or Dana, or two of them, in Kent's case, if he's only keeping, or in Craig and Kent's case, if they're trying to keep less guys, like, getting rid of more than one of those guys is going to be very difficult. I think if you can play Mike Dana at Sam, if you can push him back there, you might have to make a sacrifice at one of the other linebacker positions. But I just think that would be a move that would allow you to get more talented defensive linemen on the field. And the linebacker position, I mean, let's face it, they only have two guys on the field most of the time anyway. Why do we need six or seven or eight of them on the roster?
Also, one of them is good.
Two words, Maddie. Dave Tobe.
Hmm. Mike Dana can play special teams, I bet. I bet I could teach that man how to play special teams.
Absolutely. He absolutely can play special teams.
And I've seen Tano Pasino can't play special teams, so.
I think Tano Pasino played special teams for real.
Yeah. Didn't he block a kick last year? Or was that 2 years
ago? Oh, no. I've been on kick coverage. Like, I have seen him get...
We have seen Tano on kick coverage.
All right. I want to end the show with this. Does Tano Pasino get an extension this year? / should they give him an extension this year? After they cut Alex Okafor next year?
If he earns the starting defensive end job across from Frank Clark, yes. He deserves an extension, and they get it to him if it comes at a reasonable... Like, if there's not going to be a big market for him. I don't think they can pay big money to another defensive end.
Right.
I don't think Pasino is going to be huge money, but if he shows out and has a good start to the year, or even a really good year earning that starting job and exploding, I don't think they'll be able to afford him. So, I don't know. Like, I think that's where it gets tricky, is being able to afford him with what the cap situation looks like next year.
I will go one better. If he is your starting defensive end week one, he better be paid by week three. Pay him immediately. Get it done. Buy low. Buy low.
Right. Offer him the Alex Okafor deal.
Yeah. Because if he explodes, if he takes that next step, the step beyond the one that we saw last year, which was good, he is the kind of player that Steve Spagnuolo likes. That length, that versatility inside out. He certainly looks the part. Again, another dude at the defensive end grouping that looks the part, that plays the part. So I think you have to do that immediately if that's the case.
All right, that is going to do it for the Wednesday episode of the Arrowhead Pride Laboratory. Thank you guys so much for listening to this. It's been a lot of fun to kind of put this thing together, and things keep changing on us every week. I can't wait to see what happens as soon as this episode airs. But we'll be back on Monday with the mailbag. Be sure to keep an eye out for the AP Editor Show. We'll catch you later.
Micah Parsons, come on down.